Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I can't believe that is like less than 2 months, no, till Festival Manchester. And I feel like we're always talking about Festival Manchester, but I'm generally like, I'm really excited. I get the privilege, and it's a real privilege pretty much every weekend to just be going to different churches, just to kind of speak, to share, to open scripture, just to encourage, to equip people. And what's cool, and I get to bring my wife with me, Emily, as well, and we get exposed to a whole bunch of things that God is doing. I feel like so many times we can just kind of get stuck into our little bubble and our little what we know, what church is like, and then but seeing what God is doing all over the city, seeing what God is doing all over the Northwest is amazing. This last Sunday, I was at a Caribbean church, just kind of sharing, and they were like, we're so down with Festival Manchester, we're doing a Love Where You Live project on Saturday, and just seeing them worship, and it was like one of those churches, we rocked up, and they had the hats on, they had the Sunday best, and it was just a really cool vibe. And then in the evening, I went to a different church, and I went to the Chinese church in Manchester, and again, very different, but nevertheless, still the same passion, still the same like running after Jesus and worshiping Jesus. I'm like, wow, what a beautiful picture of the body of Christ in the Northwest. Might be different languages, might be different skin color, different denominations, but running after Jesus with Jesus at the center of it all. I'm like, come on, God, would we see during that weekend, would we see the whole church in the Northwest? Not just one kind of flavor, but different flavors, different backgrounds, just standing together in unity and reaching the lost, the least and the lost. I'm genuinely really excited about what God is going to be doing. So please be praying for us. Please be praying for the team as well. If you've not checked out the new website, festivalmanchester.com, please check it out. Great shout out to the creative team. Can we just show appreciation? They've literally killed it with the design, and Liz has been working day and night on that bad boy as well. So it's really cool. And if you're watching at home, please check out the Festival Manchester website as well. And I was thinking what to share today, and I kind of wanted to look at a particular passage. I'm just going to jump away from the book of Acts, and I'm going to jump in. Sorry, Sam, I'm going to jump into the book of Luke. And there's this, I was like, how dare you? That's my book. That's my book. That's my teaching. I was going to jump in there. And it's a simple story, and it's a story that we all know. But I wanted to tie in especially with what's happening with the schools and with the tour that we are doing, the Love Where You Live tour. And so it's a familiar passage. So if you do have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to open in Luke chapter 10. And we all know this story. Maybe you yourself have been called this particular name. By the way, happy birthday to Johnny Mitchell. It's his birthday today. So shout out to you, my brother. Happy birthday, bro. Anyway, this is a story that we're all familiar with. Luke chapter 10, and I just want to look at the story of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, starting in verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Here we have a story, a familiar story, and we've all read it before. We've read it in Sunday school, probably we act it out as well. But here we have a story of a guy, someone that went up to Jesus with two questions. And as we just read, the Bible says that this guy, this young guy, was an expert in the law, meaning that this young guy would have been a religious figure, someone that understood the ins and the outs of religious law. He would have known his stuff. He was super clever, would have known everything regarding religious law, and he had two questions. The first question was, what must I do to have eternal life? How do we have true life? And this is a question that many people are asking. This is a question that when we go into schools, when people Google, how can I live life to the full? How can I have true, real life? This is a question that everyone asks. And I generally believe that, and I know that we believe this as well, that true life comes through one person alone. His name is Jesus. Eternal life happens. We receive true life when we fully surrender to Jesus. The moment when we fully surrender to Jesus and know him as Christ and Savior, life starts. We start to truly live. Like Ben Jack says, you know, we have breath in our lungs, we're just existing. But when we find Jesus, when we meet Jesus, when we surrender to Jesus, we go from merely existing to truly living. True life comes through Christ and Christ alone. As you surrender to Jesus, we receive life. This weekend, there's Love Where You Live projects that are happening, and praying that we'll see people surrender to Jesus. And as that happens, that true life will start within them. As young people attend the gigs on Friday and on Saturday, as they hear the gospel being preached in a relevant manner, in the way that they understand, as they surrender their lives, they will start to truly live. True life comes through Christ and Christ alone. The reply, what does Jesus say? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, meaning love God with everything that you have and love your neighbor as yourself. So then the expert in the law says, okay, ask the second question. So who is my neighbor? And Jesus replies the second question with a story. A man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as Jesus starts telling the story, I just wonder what his audience must have been feeling and kind of receiving. What must they be thinking as Jesus tells this story? You know, for us, it might not mean much saying that he went from Jerusalem to Jericho, but I think this is a quite specific detail for, you know, for people in Israel, for the Israelites, for the Jewish people. This meant actually a lot. This road was known to be a dangerous road. A Jewish historian from the first century, Josephus, said that that road was famous for its lurking dangers, especially robbers. It was a 17-mile trek, and this particular road was known as the Way of the Blood. So you can imagine, right, as Jesus is telling this story about this guy going from Jerusalem to Jericho, imagine just kind of like, oh, shoot, is he really going to do that? Imagine yourself going through a way, through a road that's called the Way of the Blood. So what's the audience thinking at this point? I bet they're like, oh, shoot, this is not going to end well. This is not going to be good news at all. But not only the man was beaten, but he was left half dead on the ground. Some serious stuff had happened on this particular journey. But then Jesus continues with the story. A priest comes walking down. A religious individual would have seen the guy just laid on the floor, half dead. And what does he do? He intentionally ignores the person that's on the floor and walks away from him. If there's anyone that would expect to help this particular guy, this poor guy on the floor, would have been this particular religious individual. But no, what he does, he ignores him and walks away. Then what happens? There's another person that goes by, a Levite. A Levite walks past the guy that is on the floor. And Levites had specific roles within the Jewish temple, singing songs, serving as guards, they were caretakers. But one specific thing that Levites used to do was care for people. They used to take care of people. But this Levite as well, as he's walking past, he sees this poor guy on the floor and walks swiftly and ignores the man that's laid on the floor. They both passed by. One theologian says this, that from the nature of their office, they were most obliged to perform works of mercy, and from whom a person in distress had the right to expect immediate succor and comfort. And in inhuman conduct, they were in flat breach of the law. And maybe as you are hearing this story, maybe as you're hearing what the Levite and the priest did, maybe you can relate to it. Maybe there's been moments in your life where, you know, you expected that certain people would come to the rescue and be there for you and help you, but only to let you down and leave you alone. But I guess a reminder for all of us that one of the names that Jesus has is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, Emmanuel was never meant to be just a Christmas thing that we celebrate. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, yeah, just a Christmas tag. No. This Emmanuel, this name is a reality that we experience every single day. God is with us. It's not just a Christmas thing, but it's a 365 thing. God is with us. And believe that God is here with us right now. And we see that in Jesus. But maybe you can sympathize with the priest and the Levite. Maybe there's some valid excuses. Maybe, you know, maybe they had some real reasons why they didn't want to stop or help. And maybe it's even stuff that we would say if we found ourselves in that particular situation. The road is too dangerous for me to stop and help the man. Man, I've got to go to church and perform my rituals and my service to the Lord. I've got to go home and see my family. Man, I can't really help you right now. I'm rushing to a meeting. I got this really important meeting to talk about how we can help other people. Or maybe we'll be saying, I'm only one person. This job is way too big for me. I can never do this. Or maybe we'll say, I'll pray for him. Bless him, Lord. I'll just keep on going and I'll pray for him. Or maybe we'll be thinking and start kind of getting a bit judgmental. He brought this on himself. He should have never been alone on such a dangerous road. Or maybe we even say, as we see the poor guy on the floor, we'll probably say, he never asked for help. But they did nothing. Jesus then carries on with a story. And what does he do? He flips it. And he flips it in quite an incredible way, in a crazy manner. He mentions that a Samaritan was walking down. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you will know this, but you should know that Samaritans and Jewish people did not enjoy each other. They actually hated each other. There was a genuine hatred for one another, intense rivalry. But Jesus mentions that there's a Samaritan man walking down the road. And as Jesus says this, I wonder what is going for the audience mind. Jesus, incredible storyteller. He's telling the story. A Samaritan comes down. Oh my goodness. They're like, oh shoot, this is definitely going to be the worst thing ever. A priest passed by, a Levite passed by, another punchline, here's the Samaritan. The Samaritan passes by. Now, I believe that the Samaritan did three things. And I think there's three things, through these three things, we can see real transformation in our communities. I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see God do some incredible things. And here are the three things that I've noticed that the Samaritan did. First thing, the Samaritan took notice. As he's walking down the road, he takes notice. The second thing he does is he took pity, which in its original context is compassion. The Samaritan had compassion for the poor guy that's on the floor. And the third thing is the Samaritan took action. The Samaritan took notice of what had happened. He saw. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we need to actually see what's happening. You know, so often we can be lost in the mechanics of what we're doing that we forget about all of the stuff that's happening around us, the need that's happening around us. We need to pay attention. We need to see what's happening. We need to open our eyes and see the people in need. The priest and the Levite did the same. They saw what happened. They took notice. But the difference is they didn't do anything about it. Just kept on moving. They went and walked away, whilst the other one paused, took pity, had compassion. When we see the problem, the pain that people are going through, we need to have compassion. A discomfort within us that says, this is not right. The situation that we find, that this situation right now is not right. This is not how God intended it to be. We need to have a genuine compassion. When we are in schools and we're talking, we're bringing life, we need to have a discomfort within us saying like, it's not right that these young people, that these people are dying without knowing who Christ is. There has to be a real thing that happens within us to have compassion for these young people, to have compassion for the people in our communities, to have compassion for the people in our world, genuine compassion. And I wonder what the Samaritan, though, was thinking when he stopped. Samaritan's walking, he sees this guy, takes notice, has compassion. What does he think? What goes through his mind? Why are you stopping? What are you doing right now? He's a Jewish guy. He's a Jewish man. He wouldn't do this for you. Why are you stopping? See, but this Samaritan guy couldn't help but feel compassion. What if it were me? Boy, for me in that situation, it's putting our feet into someone else's shoes. And as he took notice and felt compassion, he moved to action, starting to become like Jesus. Jesus, known as a man of compassion, We may think compassion is like a soft thing, like a little pat on the back. Oh, poor thing. But compassion is something, is this knotted feeling within us. The Samaritan, as the Samaritan sees his enemy right there beaten on the doorsteps of death, he takes pity. What did he do? He went up to him. Where everyone had walked by, ignored him, the good Samaritan went up to him. He took oil and wine and applied on the wounds. The wine containing alcohol had an antiseptic effect on the man's wounds. The oil helped to soothe the wounds, easing the pain, bandaged the wounds, and placed the man on his donkey. They swapped places. The Jewish man, the enemy, was now on the donkey. And the Samaritan, who was once on the donkey, was now walking, knowing full well it's a dangerous road. But he carried on. The Samaritan took him to an inn, a place where this injured Jewish man could rest and recover, paid for his accommodation. The Samaritan was not bothered by the inconvenience of it all. He waited, he stayed for a complete stranger. He was willing to go the extra mile. He cared, he took action. Message, let us be a people that take notice, a people that take pity, a people that take action. Let's be a people that jump on the opportunity to do something. And I genuinely believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, it was with this that we will see our world change as we declare the good news of Jesus. That's why we do it, because we're taking notice of what's happening, because we have compassion for these people. And our action, we declare the good news of Jesus in word and deed. But even as I'm reading this, so easily we try and put ourselves in the role of the Good Samaritan. We say, I want to be a Good Samaritan. That's what I need to be. I see this Good Samaritan. Help me, God, to be a Good Samaritan. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I know I do that. I want to be that guy. But more and more, I've realized that I am not the Good Samaritan. In reality, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. I'm the guy that's laid half dead, naked on the floor. I'm the guy that's wounded on the floor. Can you see it? Jesus is the one who is the Good Samaritan. See, look at this. The Samaritan was an outsider. The Samaritan was despised by many. Jesus was despised by many. The Samaritan came after others had failed to meet the need. The Samaritan came before it was too late. The Samaritan came with everything that was necessary. The Samaritan cares. Those are all things that Christ has done for us. Christ came just at the right time. Christ saved us. Christ did everything that was necessary for our relationship with God to be restored, for us to have that true life, eternal life. Christ did everything that was necessary. Jesus cares. So as we go about doing our Love Where You Live projects, as we go about into our schools, as we do all the things that we do, please let's not get lost in the mechanics of how things work. Oh, shoot, I need to build another grocery. Oh, man, how am I going to even steward this event? How am I going to get all these volunteers? Let's not get lost in the mechanics, but let's remember the reason why is it that we're doing this. Christ cares. We are his agents. Like I said many times, we are his agents of reconciliation, his ministers of reconciliation, heralds of good news. That's who we are. His ambassadors, where God makes his appeal for us. Be reconciled. The Samaritan provided for future needs. Christ provided for our future needs. This is what Jesus did. Stepped out of heaven onto earth with skin on and saved me. Saved us. I was the guy on the side of the road, dead in my sin. Dead in my sin, destined to a specific place, eternal separation from God. But just at the right moment, he stepped in. Christ stepped in and he rescued me. Jesus stepped in and tended my wounds and exchanged its places with me. What I deserved, Christ takes upon himself. The beautiful exchange happens. The death that I deserve for my rebellion against God, Christ takes it upon himself at the cross. His death brought me life. The beautiful exchange happened there. Brothers and sisters, let's not forget. Let's not forget what Christ has done. Let's not forget the transformation that's happened in our lives.
And as we go out and about, let us be these agents of transformation, bringing the good news to a world that is dying without knowing who Jesus is. And I genuinely believe that we will see a harvest like we've never seen before. Honestly, speaking at different church leaders, I feel like I get to see the full picture or a wider picture of what God is doing. Even yesterday, I was talking to a church leader in Stockport, a local Anglican church, and he was telling me, man, it just feels like it's low-hanging fruit. People are ready. People are looking for something, and we have this incredible message of healing, of hope, of peace, of joy, of true life, which is Christ and Christ alone. Let's not remove our eyesight from the goal. Let's do what we do. Let's not get lost in the mechanics.
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.